Our reading's from the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 to 9, the scroll and the lamb. I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who sits on the throne. It was covered with writing on both sides and was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel who announced in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But there was no one in heaven or on earth or in the world below who could open the scroll and look inside. I cried bitterly because no one could be found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Don't cry. Look, the lion from Judah's tribe, the great descendant of David, has won the victory, and he can break the seven seals and open the scroll." Then I saw a lamb standing in the center of the throne, surrounded by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb appeared to have been killed. It had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God that have been sent through the whole earth. The lamb went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who sits on the throne. As he did so, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. They sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to break open its seals, for you were killed, and by your sacrificial death you bought for God people from every tribe, language, nation, and race."
Our first reading looked at the past and the present. Our New Testament reading looked at something that's to happen in the future. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, he is the one who can welcome us and lead us into heaven. God has given him that position. This morning, in some ways, I shouldn't really be taking a communion service because it means so much to me that I tend to get excited and forget my words, but it's something important to me. I've heard it called, I've been at meetings where it's been called a Holy Communion. I've been at churches where they call it the Lord's Supper. I've been at others that call it the breaking of bread. And I've heard it called all sorts of things and by different names. But whatever name we give it, the time we come together to remember what our Saviour did for us on the cross. That's what communion is all about, the coming together to remember our Saviour. I heard of a man who received a royal invitation, an invitation from the Queen for a garden party at Buckingham Palace. And he received it and he looked in his diary, so he wrote back and said, "Thank you, Your Majesty, for the very kind invitation, but I have a prior engagement and will not be able to attend your garden party." A very efficient looking envelope, important one, arrived, and inside it says, "You will attend. This is not an invitation, this is a summons. You will be there." I wonder, when you heard that it was communion this morning, did you feel that you had received a royal invitation to attend something that is very, very dear to our Saviour, to the Lord Jesus? We read these words in Corinthians, "As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." and do it till I come again. Something important, something that we should do. Some churches do it every week, some once a month. I've heard of some that only do it once a year, others that do it on only sort of, what would you call it, church feast days. But how often we do it with one thing in mind, remembrance of our Saviour. As I look back over my life, there's three communion services I went to that stuck in my mind. One of them was in a little chapel, and it was a church where anybody who loved the Lord was prepared, was able to take part. So you could get up and say something, you could read a scripture, or you could pick a hymn. This particular morning we went, and people picked hymns, people picked readings from the scriptures and read them, and everything dovetailed together. And it was a wonderful, wonderful service. And at the end, it suddenly dawned on me. Nobody had got up and said what they thought about it all. It was completely the Lord's words that came over from the hymn writers and from the readings of scriptures. I went to another one in a bigger church that worked on the same principle, but this time it was got quite a congregation, and they had a balcony upstairs. So there was people downstairs and people upstairs. And it was the same format. People could read the scriptures, people could pick hymns, or people could say something. And the thing that got me was, though the people downstairs could not see the people in the balcony, and the people in the balcony could not see the people downstairs, not once was there a clash of two people getting up at the same time. You see, some people think that type of service a bit hash-mash, but God was there. Jesus was in control. Everything knotted, fitted in closely together, because we're in the presence of our Lord and Saviour. I remember another one when I was a youngster. It was a pre-runner of Spring Harvest. It was August bank holiday. And there was thousands of young people went to this weekend conference. And they decided on the Sunday morning they would have a communion. And this field was completely empty. And in the middle was a scaffolding with a lady on the top. And the people were led into the field, and we sat round in groups of 20. And the whole field was full up of groups of 20. There were thousands of people there, mainly young people. And this young lady was trying to whip the youngsters up into enthusiastic singing. She gave up after the first couple of hymns she tried. Nobody was interested. Nobody wanted to sing and be merry and joy or worship. Everybody was just quietly meditating on why they were there for communion. In fact, it was so quiet that in the middle of our little group of 20, there was a movement in the middle, and a mole stuck his head out through the ground. He looked around and then disappeared again. And a few minutes later, the next group suddenly shouted. Obviously, he'd come up there. He probably got his mind really boggling, what all these people. But it was such a lovely occasion. Everybody was there with one mind, that was to worship and praise our Saviour and thank him for what he did. That's why we remember this morning, communion. It doesn't always work, unfortunately. I had an uncle who went to a conference of different denominations, and he said we got on famously until it came to the Sunday morning, and somebody suggested, let's have a communion service, shall we? Oh, they thought this was great. Unfortunately, man stood in the way. They could not agree on how to conduct it. Each different denomination wanted it done their way. So he said, sadly, they packed up and they came home and they didn't celebrate communion. So the first thing we see about communion is that we have been invited. We have been invited. We invite people, don't we, to our communion by printing it in our newsletters. It's outside on our notice boards. It's given out in notices in the church. and people are invited. It's given out, as it probably here last Sunday, given out in our notices in the service. But the most important thing to remember with our invitation to come to communion, it comes from Jesus himself. We read earlier, didn't we, that as oft as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Our God, our Saviour, delights in us coming together like this. In the book of Luke 22, we read that Jesus asked Peter and John to go and make preparations for Jesus and his disciples so that Jesus and his disciples could eat the Passover. And then in verse 9 we read, they asked Jesus, where do you want us to prepare the Passover? Jesus brought it out very many years when he walked on this earth, didn't he? So it's not something new. Some years ago, my sister's church, they were having their communion and they used to sit round the table and they were all in the middle of their service, coming up to break the bread and to drink the wine. And they suddenly realised they had the bread on the table, but not the cup. Sorry, the other way round. They had the cup on the table, but not the bread. A ripple went round. Fortunately, they had a caretaker who lived upstairs, so somebody managed to go upstairs and grab a piece of bread and bring it down. So we not only have to prepare ourselves, don't we? We not only had an invitation, but somebody has to prepare this table. Somebody's prepared this. I saw them as I came in, preparing our table this morning with the bread and the wine. But for us this morning, but how have we prepared ourselves for communion? Have you or I made any preparations to prepare and partake in communion? You see, when Jesus offered to his disciples the bread and the wine, it was at the festival of unleavened bread. It was a time when the Jews remembered when they left Egypt and the preparations they had to do. Did we prepare for our communion this morning? I don't know how many of you are into decorating, but when you decorate a room at home or wherever, you just don't slap the wallpaper on the wall, do you, and hope for the best. You prepare. And you ladies, when you make a cake, you just don't bung it all in a tin, do you, and sling it in the oven and hope it will come out. It's very important, the preparations. And the Jews had to prepare for the feast of the Passover. Do you know they prepared 4 days before? They started preparing 4 days before for the feast of the Passover. I wonder, when did we start preparing for communion this morning? Well, if we're preparing, what preparations can we make? First, we should get our hearts right with God. Do we desire to take part in communion, or is it out of habit? Have we got so used to doing it once on the first Sunday of the month that it doesn't carry the same amount of weight? Second, we should get our heads right. Church I went to as a young lad, we used to have communion every week, and one Sunday morning, one of the younger members of the church went up to one of the elders and said, I have a problem, can you help me? He said, what's that? He said, well, I play football on a Saturday. He was a very good footballer, actually. He said, but I find I'm sitting in communion and my head is going around the match I played yesterday. Oh, yes, he said. Well, what should I do? Now, the answer the elder got might shock us, but think about it. He just said to him, give up football. It may sound drastic, but he saw that it was a block to him worshipping and following the Saviour. And when we were summoned to be a guest at this table, why have we been summoned? If we can say yes to this comment, we can say yes, we can partake too. That when Jesus died on the cross, that he died to take away our sins, that he rose again on the third day, that he went back into heaven and is now with God. And one day he will come again for the church, his church. I ask you, do you believe that? There is only one way to enter heaven, and that is through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who can take away completely and take complete control of our lives. If you can say yes, we can do that. We agree with that. We're ready, aren't we, for communion? So we've received our invitation and have prepared ourselves. So what do we do next? When we come to communion table, let us have open hearts, open minds and souls, that Jesus' love can flow through us. Jesus' love can fill us. All the time of the time of the festival of unleavened bread, the Jews also celebrated Passover. What was Passover? When they prepared, how they remembered how they'd prepared the lamb, how they had laid that lamb and sacrificed him, had killed him, and its blood had been sprinkled around the doorposts and above the top of the door. Why was it done? It was so that the angel would pass by that house and all within would be saved. Do you realise when Jesus' blood was spilt and shed, it was shed for everybody? Remember when the first church started, the disciples, some of them wanted it to be just for the Jews, but Jesus had to make it plain to them it was for everybody. As it was when the angel of death went over those houses, it says that anybody within was saved from the death that was to come. It didn't say the Jews were in, it said anybody. So this message of salvation, this message of love that God gives out, and this message that God is holding back from fulfilling so that more and more people have a choice to enter in, that they would be saved. You see, when Jesus took the bread and wine and gave it to his disciples, have you ever thought what it must have meant to him as he was doing that, as he was breaking the bread and pouring out the wine? When he did that, he must have known he was going to walk out of that room to his death on a cross. He knew that his body must be broken and his blood must be shed for us, so that he could proclaim our Passover lamb. He could become it. He could take away our sins. He knew that in that night he would be betrayed. He knew that he would be abandoned. Yet he said these wonderful words: with desire, I wish to eat this Passover with you. What a wonderful, wonderful God and Saviour we have, that they were prepared. Jesus knew what he was going to suffer, but he wanted to do it, and he wanted to do it with us. And today, it's still the same. Do we have the desire that Jesus has to come to this table shortly and celebrate communion? Amen.